Hi, this is Eight Gates, a podcast about the stories guarded by the walls of Jerusalem's ancient Old City. This is the story of the Temple Mount activists.
The holy site known as Al-Aqsa to Muslims and the Temple Mount to Jews may be the most contested holy site in the world. It's the third holiest site in Islam and a symbol of Palestinian sovereignty in Jerusalem. In the last episode of this podcast, we heard about Palestinians risking their lives to pray at Aqsa with dignity. It's holy to Jews too, though the relationship's complicated. A lot of Jews won't visit because the religious leaders say they shouldn't, but that's changing. There's a growing movement of nationalist Jews who want prayer rights there. Some people see Jews who pray at the Temple Mount as extremists who incite violence, or settlers trying to steal space belonging to Palestinians. This story, though, is about me getting to know some of them as just people, young, educated, American Jews like me. Unlike me, though, the guys I spent time with see their lives in Jerusalem as part of biblical prophecy unfolding, one in which diaspora Jews return to Jerusalem and rebuild their holy temple in this same contested spot. My story starts almost 4 years ago. I'm hanging out with some friends in Jerusalem. I know a few from college back in the States. We're drinking beer, watching a concert on TV. A guy next to me crushes pills and snorts them off the coffee table. He comes up for air and is like, "Guys, we're all, like, here, fulfilling the prophecy. The Jews, we're coming back." Around me, heads nod in agreement. "Yeah, man, we're like part of it. It's happening." And I'm like, bye. But I kept meeting Americans on the streets in Jerusalem who spoke about coming here as part of some holy mission. A year later, I go back to Jerusalem for a school project. One night, I'm walking home from a party in West Jerusalem. I'm with American friends, chatting in English. It was 2 a.m. when a man wearing linen pants, a cotton tunic, and a Jewish head covering approached us.
I said something to the effect of, "Are you part of the returning of the exiles to the promised land?" I used that pickup line.
I was like, "Hell yes."
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you had been personally inspired by the Almighty, as I was. No, she's shaking her head no.
I had not been inspired by the Almighty. But I was inspired to understand how American Jews like me could get caught up in the idea that moving to Jerusalem is part of an ancient prophecy, especially because it seems to lead to so much turmoil in today's Jerusalem.
Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 25. The Almighty again promises to show himself holy through the Jews coming back to Israel. 22. The Almighty will be assisted by Gentiles in bringing the Jews home. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 3. The Almighty himself will gather them in and bring them to Israel.
Since Joseph has returned to Jerusalem, he's felt reconnected to himself and to this land.
Hello, world. I'm driving in Jerusalem, otherwise known as Yerushalayim. The sun is so glorious and bright and healing, setting over the hills of Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, Al-Quds. And yet at the same time, like when we look on the internet, sometimes it feels like this segment of humanity is just not on board with the love and the light and the peace.
Joseph sees himself as a figurative building block among the scattered pieces of the Jewish Holy Temple. He goes to the Temple Mount, or Aqsa, to pray whenever he's in town.
The Temple Mount in particular is an area of great dispute and a plan to share it, or at least to, if not share building structures, at least be able to share the air and to be like, "Yeah, we can all pray here together. There's no harm in that."
When Joseph goes anyway. There to pray in Hebrew,
you know, there are people up there who don't want people lingering. They will let you pause for half a minute and then, you know, they sort of move you along as though you were a sheep. You know, and they make noises that one would make towards a sheep.
Come on, move along.
He says Palestinians shout at him.
But not so much in like a loving way, like, Allahu Akbar. Like, it's much more like an anger, territorial type of energy. It sounds like, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And there was...
The Jordanian Waqf has remained in control of Al-Aqsa since 1967. After the Second Intifada, Jewish Israeli visits to the mosque resumed without coordination with the Waqf, in order to manage tensions from what's seen as Israeli encroachment on a religious site administered by Muslims. Jews are restricted from praying there out loud. Joseph would like to see those rules change.
This is the way that colonial history works. It's an erasure, giving people almost what you call a mental vacuum, so they would not really look at the consequences of their own actions as it relates to the areas that they are living or existing.
Hatem Bazian is a lecturer at UC Berkeley who says Muslim sovereignty of this holy space is so sensitive because it's a national symbol of hope for all Palestinians.
That's why it becomes such a flashpoint, because it is the only place that represents a sense of wholeness.
This year, an estimated 15,000 Jews will visit the Temple Mount. Analysts say that the Jewish presence on Al-Aqsa has been a source of this current round of violence. Bazian says Jews who pray at the Temple Mount are echoing a broader history of Israelis negating Palestinian existence through occupation. But Joseph doesn't see why his presence at Al-Aqsa is a threat. His dream is to pray alongside Muslims on the Temple Mount. He's joined peace and dialogue groups to talk about sharing the space. And he believes that when all Jews return to the land, that the Holy Temple will be a house of prayer for all nations.
And all creatures that walk on the earth, as bow and sword and battle disappear from the land, so that all may safely rest.
Some weeks after we first meet, I get an email from Joseph. It reads, "Okay, I was wondering if you might like to go to the Temple Mount while you are here, Har Habayit, the place of the former temples. It would be a big honor for me to go with you." I say no. Joseph stops responding to me after that. And I'm bummed, because I'm halfway into this unfamiliar world of young, educated American Jews who pray at the Temple Mount regularly. And I want to know more. I only have a few more weeks in Jerusalem that summer, and I do something pretty weird. I call a guy who calls a guy who calls a guy named Eli. Eli's American, but he's lived in Jerusalem for about 5 years. And he prays at the Temple Mount, Aqsa, whenever he can. He takes other Jews there too. And he says he'll take me the following week. But first, I need to talk to Yael, a Jewish educator from the West Bank settlement of Efrat. The belief that Jews should pray on the Temple Mount, or Har Habayit, as Yael calls it, is relatively new. Yael has special classes to prepare young women for a visit. It's hard to hear Yael because I'm recording our conversation on speakerphone. But basically, she's talking about my period.
Don't have sex with your boyfriend. You go to the mikveh, and then you could go up and send it to Har Habayit.
Among religious Jews, typically only married women go to the mikveh. One of the only reasons a single woman would go is to prepare for a visit to the holy site, which, remember, a lot of religious authorities are still against. So Yael instructs me to wrap my hair so I appear to be married.
And go into the mikveh, and you somehow have to put all your head inside the water.
Okay.
Anything that's not part of the body, and you have to just take it off.
And just so I know, like, what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, why is it important to go on the mikveh before going to Har HaBayit?
According to what's written in the Torah, you're not allowed to go into the whole area of Har HaBayit.
The Temple Mount is so holy, Yael says, that I have to purify my body before I go there.
Having the purest, only things you're not allowed to go. It's a holy place. It's written in the Torah. We have like a whole course about Har HaBayit and Mikdash in English. We just finished one, and we're having all kinds of places, of course, in Hebrew and English. Look, if there's any question, call me the night before, and also the night before.
I'm not sure why I care about this process, but I follow Yael's instructions. A woman says a prayer while I dunk myself in a small, cold pool. I giggle under the water, and when I come up, I'm pure. I meet Ellie early the next morning.
Did you get a chance to call up the number that I gave you on Friday, by any chance?
I'm wearing a long skirt and long sleeves. My hair is wrapped at the top of my head in a cotton scarf. It's August. I'm sweating. Ellie's in a clean button-down white shirt, black pants, and a Jewish head covering. He has a long, scraggly beard. We walk together to the Old City, and Ellie tells me what Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount, or Aqsa, means to the Jewish people.
The reason what motivates us to be there is because it is the central focal point of the Jewish people on this earth. Meaning, from there, the Torah comes out from Zion. All the stories and all of the elements that the Jewish people had, it revolved around this place, the meeting place between heaven and earth, the holiest place on the planet, where Abraham brought Isaac, and then Moses, according to some traditions, had the burning bush. Judaism is comprised of beliefs and of bonds and of covenants, but if you were to ask what is Judaism striving towards, or what is its, product that it's trying to achieve, that is singularly what our grandparents and our great-grandparents have all led up to, which is a house of prayer and of peace for all nations.
Today, though, it's not exactly a place for all nations to gather. Ellie warns me it's tense up there.
You mentioned there might be some tension up there. What does that tension look like, and like, have you experienced it in the past?
The tension is as follows. Number one is that we will be surrounded on all sides by people yelling, Allahu Akbar. Officially, they're praying, but it's a form of prayer where they get into your face. It's a natural form of nationalist. It's nationalism, protest, and intimidation, and it's under the guise, technically, that they're officially praying. Even though Jews are forbidden to pray on the holiest place for the Jewish people, but it is a place where we'll be. But again, we will be in a cordon with police. And there will also be the representatives of the Jordanian Waqf who will make sure we don't even move our lips in prayer. That's why we have to keep all our prayers in mind.
Ellie grew up in a secular household in the U.S. He didn't feel a strong connection to Judaism until his father sent him to Israel in 2003.
Back then, it was very tumultuous.
Yeah, it was during the second Intifada.
That's right. So I was there in Davidka. I must have been 17 or so. What I didn't realize was that literally the street had gone in flame. And I saw sheets on the ground, one after the other, about 20 of them. And at that moment, I felt that the people around me, the Jewish people that were with me, I felt like it was closer than family.
He went back to the States after that and battled with depression. Then he had an opportunity to come back in 2009. He made his decision in a split second and walked onto the plane with only his passport and an iPad. No clothes, no wallet, no computer. He was taken in by the religious community in Jerusalem, and he's been living here since. I asked him to tell me about the last time he went to pray at the Temple Mount.
At that moment, I had a crazy feeling. I was like, I'm right now standing at the bottom of this ramp that's going up to the Temple Mount. If my grandparents did not even have the ability to even be emboldened, to even have the capability of imagination that one day his grandchild would even have an inkling that would be over there. And it was as if I, what do they call it in Star Trek, I had what do you call it, like you teleport, whatever it is, that thing where the ship goes from like one place to very far away. This is something that like for thousands of years they would have never imagined, and here I am.
Today, Ellie leads me to the entrance at the Western Wall.
Sorry if things were a little
But the guards there turn us away. He says in Hebrew, it's because of my microphone.
No, they don't. I don't. There's something about a microphone in the hotel.
I see tour guides with microphones on the other side of the entrance, but I'm dressed as a religious Jew today, and the rules are different.
This is some part of the mindlessness. You're doing a good job. Come. Let me explain. Number one, if you a little bit of strength, a little bit of inner strength, as well be necessary today. That's number one. A little bit of inner fortitude is the word you're looking for. Number two is, you have never been so important and so central, shalom, in your life like today. There's going to be a whole cadre of people that are all focused on your cadence. Let's go this way.
We finally get to an area near the bottom of the ramp that leads up to the Temple Mount, or Al-Aqsa. There's a long line of tourists waiting. Ellie and I walk past the tourists to the front of the line, and the guards ask for ID.
We're just handing them the thing, and then they're going
to
call your name.
I give them my passport, and they tell us we have to wait. I go back to the bottom of a ramp, where there's a group of teenage girls, dressed like me, handing out cold water and juice to religious Jews. I take a water, and we chat.
We're here waiting for the Jews that are going up to the mountain with cold drinks and a little food, just to make it the time that they're waiting here, which is, could be even a few hours, in the sun, in the heat, without knowing if they're going to even be led up to the mountain. We're hoping to make it a little nicer and comfortable for them. The Temple Mount is the holiest place for the Jews. We also have a mitzvah to be up on the mountain. Especially when the condition over there is so obscene.
And where are you girls from, and how old are you?
We're from all around the country. I'm 15 years old. I'm from Beit Shemesh.
I'm 16, from Beit Shemesh too.
I'm 16, from Chelmish.
I'm 17, from Matan.
And you speak perfect English.
I was actually born in America. We made Aliyah when I was 3, so...
Where in America?
Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania.
When I went up when I was younger, I remember I like felt really close to God, and it was a great experience.
Do you ever feel scared being here?
Yes. I'll tell you the truth, yes. Today, Jews are only allowed to go up in a group of 6 Jews at once. Only 6 Jews are allowed to be at the mountain at one time. They are surrounded with many policemen, many people from the Waqf, which is dozens of Muslims screaming at them, Allahu Akbar, and trying to attack. Just last week, there was a policeman that got attacked by a Muslim woman on the mountain, which is very embarrassing for the Israeli government. But I was here also on a Mishmeret on Yom Yerushalayim, which is the day where we conquered, you could call it, Jerusalem almost 50 years ago, Shalash al-Shirit in the Muslim quarter. I was there taking pictures, and Arab women started to attack me. I almost got arrested, even though I was getting attacked over there. What happened? I was just taking videos, and they didn't like it. My phone fell on the floor and got damaged.
As we wait, we watch religious men walk down the ramp, beaming. The girls give them water.
Today, I went to Har HaBayit together with
Akiva.
Hillel. Akiva is the Chatan. Hillel is his brother.
Chatan is a groom.
And
you're a groom.
He is a groom. He's getting married. And we had to wait a long time, and we were only allowed to go up to Temple Mount for approximately 30 seconds. A lot of people screamed at us. It wasn't particularly pleasant, but well worth it.
It's difficult. I mean, it's something that you wait for a very, very long time, something that you really, really want to do, and it's supposed to be a very spiritual experience, and basically you get up there, you're not allowed to pray, you're not allowed to stop and, you know, think for a moment, or else they shove you along, and you're not allowed to bring any prayer books or anything of the sort. And if they do, they confiscate it, and then they don't let you up, and sometimes they arrest you for that sort of a thing. And you get up there, and there are, you know, swarms of, you know,
Muslims who are yelling and screaming at you. And they shove you along. We were there for literally 30 seconds. It was unbelievable. I wasn't expecting something like that. Tomorrow at 6.
Security guards call Ellie's name. He goes up.
Originally or now?
Then they call my name. I leave my recording equipment with the girls, and a female security guard takes me into a small room. I lift my arms, and she pats me down. She escorts me to the entrance. A guard standing there has my passport. He looks at it. He looks at me. He looks behind him. He looks back at me and says that I need to turn around and go back outside. There will be no more visits today. I see tourists still slowly streaming in. No more visits by religious Jews today, he means. Ellie is already inside. I take a deep breath and walk back to the teenage girls. They say the guards change their minds all the time. They blame the state of Israel. They're angry at their government for making it hard for Jews to visit the holy site. Ellie comes out, and like the other guys I saw, he's beaming as he walks down the ramp.
Okay, so it's around 10:30 right now. You made it. I failed. I think it's because
I tell Ellie I failed. But at that moment, I feel a deep sense of relief. I took this journey to feed my fascination with what I see as a cognitive dissonance among young Jews who see praying at the Temple Mount as part of a desire for peace and wholeness, which they really, really want. I know there's nothing wrong with living a spiritual life and even believing in the coming of the Third Temple. In fact, a more spiritual life is something I yearn for too, but I feel distressed at seeing so many people like me praying at the Temple Mount without seeming to understand the very real consequences of Jews accessing the holy site. It's like meeting people who love their partners so much that they beat them until they can't walk, and then say it's the only way they know how to show their love. And I feel relieved that I was turned away from the Temple Mount, Aqsa, because I'm afraid that if I stood in the place that could be my spiritual home, all that holiness around me might make the line between love and violence a little bit blurry for me too.
The point is that right now it's a place that the holiest place in the world that Jewish people are forbidden to pray. And I think that all sort of hatred and violence is something that is totally unacceptable.
Where do you think that comes from?
Where does that come from? Why is there anger?
Yeah.
It's a very good question and not one that I can really answer. Only because that, like I said, is the Temple Mount is a place that's supposed to be a place of, it says in the Torah, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. And that's why we're really looking forward to the time when the Jewish people will have the place as a place of peace and prayer. As a place where two people can go up freely in a way that it's in conjunction and in peace with all different types of people, each one in their own culture, in a way that is constructive, in a way that is cohesive, in a way that is, not necessarily cohesive, but cooperative, you know? Yeah. It's okay?
I'm Shana Sheely. This episode was made possible with editorial guidance by Kamel Ahmed and sounds recorded by Jacob Burns. Some names in this episode were changed to protect identities. This podcast is part of the Convivencia Network. Find more at convivencia.co.
Rit bayom hahu im chayat hasade v'im of hashamayim v'remez hadahama v'keshet v'cherev u'milchama eshbor.